This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me from somewhere in the depths of Petaling Jaya is the none other than Roshan Kanesan. Good morning, Roshan.
Good morning from the depths of Petaling Jaya, Shaoning. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, and it's you sound like very clear, like you're not too far away, which is good. Let's pray the technology holds up.
You know, Shaoning, it's been ages since we've been on a show together.
I know. And I'm trying to think how many months, and it's honestly, yes, you're right. It's been a while since we had these two people shows, so it's great. You know, we have kind of overcome all the all the odds. But anyway, now it's 6:01 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 30th of September. And if you don't know this, fun fact, it's just one more day to the Mid-Autumn Festival. And if you look outside the window now, the moon is absolutely glorious, okay? It is the peak of perfection. The color is radiant. It's like so huge. So for those who are celebrating the Mid-Autumn Festival, actually anyone can celebrate. All you need to do is get your lanterns and your mooncakes ready. And why not, right? Any excuse to eat. I think that's a very Malaysian thing. But Roshan, what do we have lined up today?
Well, in about half an hour, we're going to take a look at international headlines. And a few of the headlines that have piqued our interest today: the Chinese Communist Party asserts greater control over private enterprise. Jeng, jeng, jeng.
And surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. And then you've also got Indonesia's parliament approving the 2021 budget to see 5% growth. How are they going to get that is something we'll get into. And in a little bit, we're also going to get into, I guess, virtual water coolers, right? The importance of having those informal conversations in your office. Can you really replicate it online, though? That's the question we're going to explore in a little bit.
That is true, because, you know, let's face it, we all love a little bit of gossip, but do you want it on WhatsApp?
Never in writing, Shani. Never
in writing. Exactly right. That's a bad, bad thing. Meanwhile, I'll be having a look at the US debates, which are going to happen in about, 3 hours' time in the Malaysian time. But as always, let us know what you think. You know, if you want to weigh in on any of the conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll have more for you in a few minutes. But first, Common People by Pulp, Don't Go Away, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Common People by the Pulp, a uber cool song that emerged in the 1990s, in the middle of 1990, and then they were a very popular UK band. But anyway, this good morning, I'm Wong Shaoning, and with Roshan Kanesan, and of course, this is The Morning Run. Well, up next, we have this very interesting article from the BBC Work Life, and it's entitled The Rise of the Virtual Water Cooler. It's originally, I think, from a website called The Conversation, and it's all about the new normal, I think, because working from home for many of us is a reality, some more than others. But there are certain parts of working life that go missing, I would say, because we are working from home. And one of that is that, you know, those water cooler conversations that we have. And I think in BFM, if I bring it back to our working environment, it's the conversations we have in the pantry, in the corridors, and even at the tables, right? Because as you know, in BFM, we are on work rotation. So there's a team A and team B. So those that are together, yes, the water cooler conversations kind of continue. But It's like what we were just saying, right, Roshan? We haven't had a chance to do a two-person show in a while. And as a result, we haven't had that water cooler conversation to gossip about our colleagues.
No, right? We have not.
I mean, we have WhatsApp, a group WhatsApp where we chat. And I think there are also other apps out there. Like apparently there's an app called a Water Cooler, Donut, Slack. But Roshan, don't you think it's just not the same?
Yeah, no, Shaoning, I completely agree. It's not the same. I mean, when I'm in the office during my rotation, you have these things like corridor conversations, right? You're just walking by and then someone's walking past you and you just chat about whatever it is. Like I chat with one of our colleagues from Bigger Picture about Arsenal and football all the time. And it's just, when you're in a physical space together, you can have that informal conversation. Someone will tease you about your football team losing or something you said on air that morning. You don't really have that virtually, right? Because it's all informal, it's all spontaneous. And I don't know how much you can design spontaneity, right? So like this app Donut that you were just mentioned, it supposedly What it does is it offers, it regularly introduces team members who don't know each other well to spread trust and collaboration across your organization. I think it uses Slack to do this. I don't know how effective that's going to be, right? It's you can randomly pair two people together, and I don't know whether they're going to necessarily talk to each other. It sounds so
forced.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing about this is that, you know, which we can't deny, there are many advantages of working from home. One of which is that you can work in your pajamas. Don't tell anybody that. Other than that, you don't have to travel, you know, like 1 hour to get to work, 1 hour to go home. The fridge is nearby. But I think one thing I really miss is those, like you say, those casual chats. And that's important because even this article brings up the point that it creates rapport. There's no denying that. There's no way that can be replicated on a WhatsApp group or a donut or Slack or water cooler apps. None of that. The other thing also apparently it does is it diffuses tension and anxiety in the office because it brings together this sense of community. And I recognize this because for me, a lot of the chat that we do with regards to work is on WhatsApp. And I'm very guilty in sending out very abrupt, curt WhatsApps, you know, like bullets, do this. And I'm very functional. And it will never be the same if, let's say, we were in the office and I was communicating with y'all, because you could probably see me laughing away as I'm telling you, do A, do B, do C. And then next minute, we're talking some nonsense. Hey, do you see that guy? No, what he wore that day? Blah, 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 blah. And it'll be like, it's that combination of, I would say, badly, office gossip, football scores, and then work, which all somehow is missing, right? Don't you think so, Roshan?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, this I think this article in particular, some of the terms that really popped up to me, I'm just going to just read a few out. Informal conversations, in between spaces, awkward conversations, and building community. I think these four terms really encapsulate what we're talking about, right? Because sometimes, you know, you're just standing by waiting for the coffee pot to finish brewing, and you're next to someone who you've never talked to before in the office. And then suddenly you ask some random weird thing, like, oh, how was your weekend? And there's an awkward 20, 30 seconds there. But what it does is it breaks the ice, right? So that the next time you actually know this person a little better, even if it's just a small step forward in terms of building that rapport. And it's those randomized interactions that really make a difference. And I think the only way that you kind of replace this, or not even replace, that you can offset this a little bit in the virtual world is by having intentional mixes online. Like every week, someone in the office says, okay, let's meet online for, I don't know, for virtual hangout and just see what happens, right? But I don't know. If anyone out there on the interwebs has suggestions, we'd be more than happy to know, because God knows that we need some help.
Yeah. I don't know whether we'll ever find the balance, but you're right. You know, it's those random conversations that make a difference. Because just that day, we had an intern, and I didn't know her name, but I had a conversation with her because, of all things, she made a durian coffee. And the office, yeah, you know, those three-in-ones, there was a durian flavor. And let's just say, right, it was remarkable. We were like, what is that smell? And if it was in Australia, the whole building would have been evacuated. But because it's Malaysia, we are a little bit more mindful of like, this smells like durian. Who's eating durian in the office? So it's these kind of random things that really make a difference to the office atmosphere. But let us know what you think about what we were talking about, whether, you know, we need to find a new way to have these water cooler conversations. Send in your messages over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now for some messages, but then stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Cruel by St. Vincent, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kunnison. It is now 6:20 in the morning. It is the 30th of September. My goodness, it's the end of the month already, and a Wednesday morning, and maybe if you look out of your window quickly, you might even see the last of the moon, the glowing moon before the Mid-Autumn Festival. I think it's almost at the peak of its perfection. But anyway, this morning, we're looking at this article. Well, it's actually an op-ed piece in the New York York Times by Charles M. Blow, and it's asking the question, or well, telling us that we don't need debates because, as most of us know, tonight, well, actually not tonight, well, tonight in the US, 9 p.m. their time, but 9 a.m. our time, Biden and Trump will be having the first of the three presidential debates. So very interesting. We'll get to hear, I think, six topics. It is going to be anchored by Fox News, I believe. And it's something that we as a station will also be covering at 7:30 a.m. later today to explain the mechanics of the debates, what will be discussed and how important it is. But in the meantime, I think it's interesting that this Charles M. Blow is saying that at the end of the day, these debates mean very little because most of us have actually apparently made up our minds already even before we vote. And it's more a performance art than anything else. It's a test of stamina, mental ability, wit, and I think this part is missing, how you look versus really your policy. What do you think, Roshan?
Yeah, I think this is going to be really interesting because on top of other things, I think you mentioned that Fox is going to be moderating this, right? Chris Wallace is the moderator. Now, Chris Wallace is the, I think if you remember a few months ago, Trump had an interview with Fox News. Chris Wallace was the interviewer who pushed back against the president at that time. And he's got a very nice demeanor about how he does it. So I'm very, very curious to see how this plays out because there are so many things happening right now. And what's going to be really important, I think Biden is going to have to show up, right? Because Trump has repeatedly banged on this drum of Biden's not fit for office, he's an old man, he's going to die tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing. So if Biden can show up energetically and, you know, look good, like you mentioned, right? He's going to, I think he will then show that, hey, listen, don't worry about all this. I'm here, I'm performing. But at the same time, you know, so many people have already decided in this polarized society. I think all this does is confirm your bias, right? Like, yep. You will look for signs of, oh, okay, this reinforces my opinion of Biden, or this reinforces my opinion on Trump. Unless you put out some kind of standing ovation performance at a debate, and I'm not even sure what that looks like.
Yeah, actually, I want to bring back a little bit of history because I think the first televised debates was actually between Nixon and JF Kennedy. Now, if you actually listen to it on radio, Nixon appeared to have won, right? Because I think he came up with the best speeches, the best attacks, he had the clearest policy. But if you watch TV, it was JF Kennedy that won because he was young, he was tanned, he looked good, versus Nixon that was a bit grey. Apparently that day he wasn't feeling so well. So much of it is based on appearance, not necessarily, I think, the crux of it, which is policy. But you're right, Roshan. I think most of us, and I'm bringing this home back to Malaysia, because we don't have presidential prime minister debates. What we do have is, before elections, is ceramahs. And they are a form, I would say, very entertaining, some of them. But you probably would have made up your mind even before you attended the ceramah. Like you say, you go there to reconfirm your existing beliefs. And actually, last elections, what I did was I forced myself to attend both sides of the ceramah so that I would try to be as non-biased, more neutral as possible. But I think it's difficult because, like you say, that inherent biasness is there. But I would like to see, nonetheless, a prime minister, I mean, you know, in the next general elections, I would like to see a version of these debates for Malaysia, and BFM would be glad to host them, okay? Because if Fox News in the US can do it, we at BFM can do it too. Don't you think so, Roshan?
Oh, for sure. I think we can definitely do it. But, you know, when we talk about debates, right, especially in the US, sometimes I wonder whether it's basically about ratings, right? Because a lot of the times the way these debates are structured is for entertainment. It's for those sound bites. It's for that wow factor. That's why you have 10 people on the stage during a Democratic primary or a Republican primary. It's about getting eyeballs. This is where CNN's ratings were jumping through the roof. Fox News ratings were through the roof. So it's really about, the biggest winner here is the network that hosts that debate, right? That's why they all fight for the right to do so. But I mean, I would love to see. It's also just about watching how your charismatic your leader is and how they can answer on the fly. I think these are very important things to build trust with your audience, with your votership, with your voter base. So I don't think it's irrelevant, but it may not be as important as it used to be.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, like you say, it's eyeballs. If I'm not wrong, Hillary Clinton and Trump's debate had something like 80 million viewers. So clearly still very important, even though, you know, perhaps it shouldn't be the only way you decide how you're going to vote. But let us know what you think about our conversation. You know, let us know whether you think Malaysia should have our own version of debates. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin, and to take us there is Walking in Rhythm by the Blackbirds. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Morning Run together with Roshan Kanasan, who is somewhere in the depths of Petaling Jaya. It is now 6:38 in the morning. It is the 30th of September, and yes, the month has just almost vanished. It is also Wednesday. But that song was Gone with the Wind is My Love by Rita and the Tiaras. We've had some interesting conversations so far, totally random ones as usual. So some conversations on water coolers and even the presidential elections. But now we're taking a look at what's happening around the world. And first up, of course, is the Chinese Communist Party, because they have emphasized that private companies have an important role to play in United Front work. Now, what is United Front work? Well, apparently it's aimed at ensuring that non-party organizations and entities support the party's top policy objectives, as well as maintain its grip on power. Now, the officials added that they wanted to assemble a team of representatives from the private sector, and in return, private enterprise will promise greater government support and more equal treatment relative to their state-owned competitors. And this is the first time that the Chinese Communist Party has spelled out such quid pro quo terms so explicitly.
I don't know about you, Shani, but that really just gives me the jitters when I hear that. You know, it's like, hey, guys, we want representatives from you to come and join us. And, you know, then we want to have a say in basically how you'd run. Hey, but, you know, if you do this for us, then you can compete better with the enterprises that we already own. I mean, if you wanted to dispel any myth that the Chinese Communist Party had a say in the way private corporations run in China, this is not the way to go about it, right? This is the complete reverse situation. I mean, state-owned enterprises are one thing, but this is a complete other thing, right? So it's not new. Some private entrepreneurs have already complained that this has in the past proven empty promises, and essentially worried that Xi Jinping wants to basically formally give the party a greater say in how these private companies operate. Now, if we take a look at some of the numbers, China's private sector still accounts for 50% of government tax revenue. And that's nothing to play around with. 60% of economic output and 80% of employment for all urban workers. And this is based on an FT piece here. This is despite years of systemic discrimination, such as limited access to bank loans compared with state-owned peers. This is always the fear when you take a perspective of the free markets individuals, right, who are like, the minute you have a state-owned enterprise in the mix, how is there not a conflict of interest in the way the government operates in relation to these two different entities?
Yeah, that's why it's a bit of a confusing time, because if you rewind back to Deng Xiaoping, right, I think he was the one that liberated Chinese economy and said, yes, you know, you can almost have capitalism running alongside communism. And he actually encouraged free enterprise. And, you know, the rewards of that are seen today. I mean, you do have some very notable private companies, Chinese companies, the likes of Tencent, Alibaba, you know, really in the forefront of technology in what they do. But yet, this seems to be like, oh, let's take 10 steps back. It's not one step back. 10 steps back and formalize, or at least, like, let's say, you know, openly, the state wants to have more say in private enterprise, which I think is a bit of a contradiction, because, you know, you hear that China wants to internationalize its currency. It wants to have a greater role in financial markets. It wants to be an alternative to, you know, financial centers like London, New York, Hong Kong. It wants to encourage more companies to list in Shanghai, Shenzhen. And then yet you come out with this statement that says, hey, government wants to interfere more in private business, which is, I would say, a little bit, and I'm being probably a bit sarcastic here, a little bit confusing. I mean, don't you think so, Roshan?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I mean, technically, what they're trying to say here is it's a team of representatives, right? Like, we're forming a committee here to work together, a united front, you know, to better for the nation and all that jazz. It reeks, like, you know. And you know, under these new guidelines, party committees are now supposed to play a role in personnel appointments and other important decisions at private companies. I mean, how does that not scare you as an entrepreneur in China? But I guess for them, it's kind of like, what are you going to do? What's the reverse situation, right? Like, don't cooperate with the Chinese government. We've seen what happens to Tencent. Tencent is one of the biggest companies on earth. And when they were seemingly resistant to certain things in China, licenses for a lot of their games big money games were taken away. So it's always a concern. And I don't know. It doesn't look good on the international front, but at the same time, there are plenty of countries that rely on China for economic prosperity, right?
Yeah, but you know, if we bring in this conversation a little bit back home, I mean, some people do argue, right? What about our GLC appointments, right? We do see some, I would say, party politicians involved in key roles. So is that a good move too? Should it be professionals independently appointed so that they can carry out their job without any consideration towards what party wants? So I think it's something not only China, you know, you see in China, but also around the world. And even in the US, I'm sure there's a fair share of lobbying going on behind the scenes as to who gets on what board or who's a diplomat, for example, things like that. So it's nothing new, but let us know what you think. I mean, give us your thoughts. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll be taking a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and, of course, the online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Roshan Gunnison. And of course, this is The Morning Run. And that was California Soul by Marlena Shaw. And before we get into the newspapers, I'm going to just read some of the WhatsApps that have come in. And this is from Ro, and he said, perhaps the retirement of the water cooler pantry conversations aren't such a bad thing. As Malaysians, we rank in the top 10 in the world for complaining and top 20 for doing the same about one another. Maybe that's the kind of conversations that Ro has, you know, so yeah, but it's true. We do like to complain. Meanwhile, Cheryl wrote in and says, Malaysia is not a communist country, but GLCs in Malaysia are having more protection from the government, which is a point I brought up with regards to GLC appointments. But what do you see in the headlines, Roshan? Oh, I think, we have him now.
Yes, I am here. Don't worry. This is one of those things, right, when you are on Zoom and you forget to unmute yourself. It's quite embarrassing. Lucky you can't see my face. But if you take a look at the CEO morning brief, what I've got, they've gone with the World Bank, right, and essentially the GDP numbers, which we will actually get into a little later in the show. So I'll leave that for then. You've also got a High Court overturns guilty verdict in Stanley Thai insider trading case. So that happened recently. I think this has been going on for a few years now and was really quite a big thing when it first came to be. I mean, Supermax is now getting headlines for a lot of other things. But this was one of those really big events from a few years back, particularly just before GE14, if I remember correctly. But the one thing that's caught my eye on Malay Mail, I think this is a report based on the health DG's Tan Sri Nur Hisham's press conference yesterday. And then he emphasized, or at least he stated, that the transmission of COVID-19 virus in the community is no longer limited to just Sabah. And that he is, while the health ministry is not insisting on a 14-day mandatory quarantine for those who test negative or do not show any symptoms of the illness if they come back, I think this just brings to mind again that everyone needs to be careful, right? That we all need to be vigilant and practice all the SOPs, because while we are enjoying some semblance of a partial economic openness and things like that, or at least that the economy has reopened, we don't want to get into another MCO, right? Because I've spoken to some of my friends who are entrepreneurs in several areas and they don't think they'll survive another MCO. And I think that's why it's incumbent upon all of us to keep the curve flat. That's why we have to do it.
Yeah, I think we had this conversation yesterday with Dr. Kaur Swee King about the possibility of stricter measures. You know, I think the point is we have to, like, even the headline of the Star today is that crucial 3 weeks. So Malaysians must be disciplined as their actions in this next 3 weeks will determine how the current COVID-19 wave will turn out. So, you know, medical experts also describe how COVID-19 has complicated traditional campaign methods and, you know, that the Sabah state election should be a lesson for any upcoming state or general elections. And then if I turn to page 3 of the Star, in it says, ordered to stay put on campus. So apparently, as a precautionary measure against the spread of COVID-19, matriculation students must stay put for now. And the MOE has confirmed that they are not allowed to leave campus grounds for the time being. And the ruling was in accordance with the guidelines issued by the authorities. So it looks like, yeah, there are already some measures in place to kind of prevent COVID-19 from spreading. I think, like what you say, Roshan, the point is we all have to do our little part, you know, keep that physical distancing, wash our hands. And, you know, I think we almost took it for granted when our daily COVID infection rates were like very low, double digits. But now it's like yesterday was 101, if I'm not wrong. So, you know, like all the headlines say, please be mindful. It's a similar headline in the New Straits Times. The headline is containment. So with increasing numbers detected from September 7th, 4 new clusters have emerged. So once again, you know, the TEMCO, for example, that's happening in Sabah is something quite serious.
Yeah, and then this is part of that, you were talking about how the elections went there, right? So Sabah is going to be a base case for a lot of things. And one of them is the feasibility of conducting a general election in terms of how it plays into COVID-19, right? Because now we're seeing some concerns. But I guess if we have all the SOPs and all the processes in place in terms of how people move, that is helpful. Well, let's just hope that everyone is subject to those rules, right? That everyone is being screened, that everyone is playing, is on a fair playing field. Because we've seen some individuals escape certain procedures or not get the same punishment as others in the recent few months. And this is going to be something that keeps going on. And while we're talking about Sabah, I've got Malaysia Kini open. And although the chief minister fight has been sorted out, and I think we've got Bersatu's Sabah chief who's now in charge, CM. A little bit of tit for tat still going on between Bersatu and Sabah, right? Because UMNO is essentially saying, hey, you know what? We actually want more seats. So maybe Bersatu shouldn't be saying so much about how this is great for the country and how they want this, right? It's a team effort. And now you're seeing a lot of headlines spin off from there, from I think something about Dato' Sri Najib Razak and a bunch of people are also looking to basically make their not happy with the situation. And this is just something that's been going on for so long.
Yeah, but we'll be watching this space nonetheless. That's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next, of course, is the 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis, where we'll be speaking to Ultra Bull or Ever Bull, Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, to find out where global markets are heading. But first here is I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.